Good evening.
Am I on?
Yes, I am. Yeah, it's more than I could say for my computer. I am well known for my love of technology. And as I tell my family often, I can fix computers. And the way I fix them is I open the window and I throw them out and they're fixed. And tonight was one of those nights. So I do say a heartfelt thank you to my son, Nick, for coming up and just redoing this one, which I hope works now, and if it doesn't, I'll call him up to sort it out. Tonight, by way of something a little different, you may have remembered, some of you may have met two friends of ours that were over here about 4 weeks ago. He was a pastor, Seetone Konkor, and his wife Pen from Thailand. And they were visiting. They were visiting churches in the U.S., and they're sending church, and we brought them up here because they needed a short vacation. They needed to not be speaking every other night and not be really stressed by so much of what is happening, because they are, or Seetone is a missionary Baptist pastor in the town of Chiang Mai in Thailand, a town which we know quite well. We visited there. Nick and April have lived there, and Pastor Seetone was actually the pastor that married Nick and April. So we have a special relationship with this couple. And they shared with us a part of what is happening in their lives. And because time was pressing and time was short and they did have to leave, they didn't really get the time to share it with you. So on his behalf, I will share some of what is happening in Seetone's life and what is happening in a country that some of you may be acquainted with, but most of you probably not. The country of Thailand is, I think in terms of just size, it's the 50th biggest country in the world, with a population close on 66 million now, of which 95% are Buddhist, and of which probably less than 1%, much less than 1%, probably 0.1%, are maybe nominal Christian, and of those there are perhaps 150,000 Christians in a country of 66 million people. So there is a work there. And when we look at the Great Commission, what is really interesting and what I find interesting is that we have spoken to people that have ministered over there, and we've spoken to various pastors. And one of the problems is that, well, actually, it's a couple of problems. Thai people, by and large, are just so nice. They're just very nice people. They will smile and say hello, and they'll communicate with you, and they'll look you in the eye. But their Buddhist upbringing, their Buddhist belief system is such that if you approach them with the gospel, they're very, very courteous. And actually, handing out tracts in Thailand is really a pleasure, because if you have them with pictures, then Thai people love that. They will actually stop in the street, they will open them, and they will read them, which is wonderful. The downfall is that if you then approach it, and this is not personal experience, this is experience of others that have been out there, that if you actually approach them and take it to the next level and look at what their understanding is of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work, then that's where you start to run into difficulty. I mean, it would be very easy just to say, well, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And they go, yes. And you say, oh, that's great. That's a yes without any understanding whatsoever, because they are such gracious people that they wouldn't want to offend you by saying no. So when we look at the Great Commission, think in terms of go ye therefore and make disciples in all nations, because it's the discipling that tells you whether you've got a believer with the Lord Jesus Christ safely ensconced in their heart and not just this head belief. And the problem is very often we end up with a lot of head-believing Christians who get swayed in all sorts of different directions by all sorts of vain philosophies, and as Scripture warns us, they're just led astray because there's no root, there's no deep indwelling, there's no knowledge of what is good doctrine and what is false doctrine. And the evangelical church at the moment is awash with false doctrine. There is so much out there now, it is unbelievable. Back in Thunder Bay, even many of the Baptist churches there now are amillennial. and they're into replacement theology, replacing Israel with the church, which to my mind is as close to blasphemy as you can get, because we're taking God's chosen people, God's people, and saying, well, that's the end of any covenant relationship with you. Well, when I read my scripture, it talks about an everlasting covenant. And to me, everlasting seems to mean everlasting. I think even in the Greek, everlasting means everlasting. So in Thailand, you're faced with much different problems. For visiting missionaries, the biggest problem is the language. It is a tonal language. There are five tones in that language. You're welcome, actually, to go and ask April afterwards to say something to you in Thai and see whether you can make head or tail of it, because it really is so different. And the tones, these different tones, you can have one word, in essence, with five different tones, with five different meanings. So it becomes really problematic. So when we look at missionaries, probably the missionaries that work the best over there are the indigenous missions. And when you look at a people with a tonal language, I think that really is right across the board, unless God has gifted you with the ability to speak that type of language. Me personally, I can't even open up a computer, let alone speak a tonal language. So my knowledge is kind of limited to fixing things, usually things that don't require computers and special wiring. So in Thailand, what you have is a situation with so many Buddhists. And Buddhism itself is interesting. How many of you know some of what Buddhism teaches? Just a quick show of hands, I won't count, but some of, okay. How many of you know Buddhism deeply? Yes? Well, if there's a deepness there, the interesting thing is that when you look at the two various aspects of Buddhism, it is creeping in again to the evangelical church in the form of meditation practices. And there are many now that are saying in the evangelical system that, you know, learning something of Buddhism is really, really valuable because it teaches us how to concentrate, how to meditate upon God's word. And they will defend that position, which is problematic. I have a little quote here from a man by the name of Scott Griswold, and it's what happened to him actually in Cambodia, which is just next door. And it goes like this: the comment of my Cambodian friend startled me. When I was fleeing during the war, I ran into a Catholic church, and there I saw the figure of Jesus twisted on the cross, and I was shocked to learn that Christians worship this man. How could they even respect someone who obviously had such terrible karma? And karma means it comes back to you. And that was his exposure to Christianity. See, tens of thousands of men shave their heads, don orange robes, and devote themselves as monks to the Buddhist path of good deeds and meditation. They hope to escape the cycle of good deeds and meditation, and millions of lay people in varying degrees. There are approximately 350 million Buddhists now, and Buddhism is spreading, not as rapidly as Islam, but it is spreading. And it's very difficult, I think, if you have no knowledge of Buddhism, to really look at how you would share your faith with them. It is quite problematic. So Buddhism, by and large, thumbnail study of Buddhist teaching, the middle way, the middle path. Find the middle way between the extremes, and that's right for you. The middle way is usually found by experiencing the extremes, not by staying to the middle and avoiding them. So it's an empirical attitude. Buddha says, believe nothing until you've tried it out for yourself. And then you have to think about letting go. Liberation comes in part through giving up our grasping and our attachments and letting go of things. This includes unhelpful old ideas, old beliefs, as well as attachment to the material world. And then there are the four noble truths of Buddhism. Number one is that suffering exists. It's part of the very structure of our existence. Number two, suffering has a cause. Number three, there is a way to end or at least greatly reduce the suffering. And number four, a way to end or reduce the suffering by following the Eightfold Path. And what, may you ask, is the Eightfold Path? Well, here's the Eightfold Path. Are we ready? Number one, having a right understanding, especially knowledge of the Four Noble Truths. Right motivation or resolve, the determination to remove animosity, malice, and hatred from our consciousness, and also the determination to reduce worldly pleasures. Right speech, telling the truth and avoiding lies, avoiding harsh language, frivolous gossip, and any remarks which may cause unnecessary hardships or pain. Having a right action, which is number four, acting in ways that honor rather than dishonor. No stealing, no immorality, no action which would harm others or yourselves. This sounds quite familiar if you're thinking in terms of the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. A right livelihood, finding an occupation which suits your own nature, which contributes to the world in some positive way and doesn't cause damage, difficulty, or hardship to others. Right effort, directing your efforts towards faithfully following the Eightfold Path, having a right mindfulness, letting go of your thoughts that I must have this or I must do this, and developing moment-by-moment awareness, and a right concentration, which is practicing meditative states. And if you'll notice what all of those things had in common, it's all about self. It's all about what you do on your path. And Buddha himself said that he's not a god, he's not to be worshipped. Others will take that and they will still, in their way, worship Buddha. And of course, when you go abroad, you will see lots of Buddhas, smiling Buddhas, seating Buddhas, standing Buddhas, gold Buddhas. They're all over the place. They're everywhere. And there are lots of prayer wheels and lots of prayers being offered to these idols of stone, which is what they are. And they're these idols of Buddha. So, and I think back to Exodus 24, where Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders were summoned by God. And, you know, you're thinking, what is happening here? And Moses has received the law. Moses actually reads the law. He reads the law out, and the people say, well, as you have said, so we will do. And then Moses wrote down the law. And then Moses read the law to the people, and basically the people said, as you have said, so we will do. And within 40 days, what had they done? They had Aaron building a golden calf within 40 days. That's kind of how we can be. We can hear, we can say yes, 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 and then we're off on our own direction. You see, when you look at Buddhists, it's difficult for them to believe in Jesus. See, Buddhism has many good moral teachings, but at its heart, at the core, is you can be saved by what you do. And so there's no teaching of an eternal, supreme God. There's no teaching of God at all. Concepts about life and death are all in karma. It's all about karma. It's all about this whole aspect of karma itself. Many Buddhists live in countries where their family members and neighbors are Buddhists, and becoming a Christian in that circumstance because of karma and because of the belief in spirits can often be that when a family turns to Christianity, all the little spirit houses that you see in the gardens in Thailand, all the spirit houses that are around, they're taken down by that family, and the neighbors know something's gone on, and the neighbors will be upset. The neighbors will talk about this and say, what are you doing? You're going to bring bad luck on us. And if it's one member of a family who becomes a Christian, then that's a really big problem, because these peaceful, loving people, yes, they may be, but now this son or daughter, this husband or wife who's now accepted Jesus Christ, now the issue is going to come up about what's going to happen to us with all these spirits. So it's not simply a Buddhist becoming a Christian. There is much more to it. See, Buddhists are often prejudiced against Christianity. They see it as a religion that is less moral and less spiritual than Buddhism, because Christians nearby, their walk may not be the walk of a Christian. And remember, it's how you walk, not how you talk, that is the issue. How you walk, not how you talk. Christians really have not taken deeply into this mission field as represented by the fact that there are so many unreached out there. And that's just Thailand. If you look at Southeast Asia, population total, excluding China, just exclude China, which is what, 1.2 billion, you're still up in, if you include India, you're still up close on to 1.75 billion people. add China into the mix, and now you're up into nearly 3 billion people. It's a huge number of people. So these barriers are problematic in terms of presenting Jesus Christ to the Buddhist. You see, the scripture clearly teaches that the miracle of the Holy Spirit is necessary for anyone to come to trust in Jesus as their personal Savior. Then that would make prayer the greatest priority of all. What is interesting, in part of the research that I was doing looking at this, I looked at the an Ontario Society for Religious Equalization, I think it was called, and they actually said, we can conclude that many people who make decisions on the basis of prayer alone are in error. We find no value in prayer. That's Ontario. And that's an Ontario coalition looking at religious freedom and religious equality right across the board. So right here in this country we have, but we know that. We know things are getting worse. We know it's getting worse by the hour, worse by the day, worse by the week. It is here. It is in Asia. So on that basis, you know, probably the messenger is the most important going over there. And this is where having someone who is an indigenous, someone who lives there, someone who's become a Christian, becomes so important. You see, the admirable character of Jesus really did attract many people. It wasn't his Hollywood face, because Scripture tells us quite clearly that his countenance was not to be admired. It tells us quite clearly that Jesus was a humble man. He was of lowly stature. He was not a Hollywood, blue-eyed, bearded man. But kindness, generosity, justice, mercy, peace. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples, if you read in Acts 2:44, the Holy Spirit was poured out and the disciples had favor with all people. Gladness and simplicity of heart. They shared whatever they had with those in need. Buddhists will be drawn to that element of Jesus' character. And part of the attraction for Buddhists is that many Christian qualities match the values that their religion teaches as well. Compassion, moral purity are significant aspects of the character of Buddha. The sacrifice of position and power is a major part of Buddha's story. Buddha himself was the son of a very rich, very wealthy family who at the age of 29 decided that he was out one day, and as the stories go, he saw in the same day a dead animal, a dead person, and poverty. And from that point on, that changed his life. And ultimately ended up sitting under a tree saying, I'm not going to move from here until I have enlightenment about what to do. And that formed the basis of Buddhism. And it's demonstrated now by the monks who give up marriage and personal possessions, and they give up entertainment. They live a simple life. They don't go out and proselytize. They don't go out and preach. They're just there. And they'll be walking down the road. They'll come down the road in the morning with their begging bowls, and people will fill their begging bowls. Millions of Buddha images portray Buddha in various positions, and I think it's almost always in complete calm. Although I do remember the one, I can't remember where it was, Nick, the laughing Buddha. The big, tall, laughing Buddha. There's that one there. The big, smiling Buddha, the big gold one that we saw. But there was one that I remember. But you see, all of these qualities can be seen in Jesus. It's especially true when the telling of Jesus' story, live that story and exemplify his life. There was a study of many young people who attended the Christian school. It was actually an Adventist school. It was the Adventist Academy in Chiang Mai in Thailand. Buddhist students who became Christians reported that they came to believe in Jesus primarily through contact with various caring Christians, especially their teachers. Christ-like character was a significant reason for their attraction. So when we look at the presentation of the gospel, when we look at how we approach people from different faiths, it really becomes important that we start to understand where they're at the moment. What is their current position? Are they strongly Buddhist? Are they weakly Buddhist? Are they the sort of people that will look at Jesus in a way that says, I need to understand more about this man, Jesus? Will they look at you and say, I look at your life, and your life tells me that I need to go and seek more about this Jesus? There are many stories of people coming to know Christ. We're going to look at a couple in a moment. But the majority, over 50%, who became Christians indicated that their personal experience with God was the main factor for their decision to accept Christ as their Savior. And you look at the miracles in many forms. There are a lot of instances, even more now, certainly amongst people groups in the Middle East and Far East, and certainly if we're thinking in terms of people from countries like Iran, where they are seeing visions and having dreams. And they are coming to Christ without a Bible, without knowledge of Scripture, but through dreams and through a revealing of Christ, which I find absolutely amazing. For us, you know, it's very difficult for us to comprehend that, but being in a country where you don't have ready access to Scripture, and yet people are converting to Christ. You're never going to see this on the mainstream news. That much is for sure. You'll never see it. See, as witnesses for Jesus, we have much to say. We have much to say. I think what I'd like to do is actually just run this video. I'd like you to have a little look at Seetone's vision for where he would like to be in Chiang Mai. And it's interesting because last week there was a little bit about what is our vision? What do we do? What are we looking at? Where's our scope? And I was talking to Leonard last week and it was refreshing because Leonard said, well, you know, when you look at proclaiming the gospel, when it started with the disciples, it was where they were in Jerusalem. It is where we are, which is where we can start. And if you have a desire to go and witness abroad, and that desire is of God, then that's a wonderful, wonderful desire to have. And I don't think there are many. Somebody told me once that for every 100 people that say they would like to go and be a missionary, only one actually goes out to be a missionary. I think it was probably you, Leonard, that may have said that. And I remember that. A lot of people say, yeah, I'd like to go and be a missionary, but one in 100 maybe actually go out and be a missionary. It is a hard calling. Well, the moment of truth, let's see if it actually... Are we ready? Is that too much volume here? No? They're not. It's gone completely, isn't it? Yeah. Oh dear. Why would that be? But there's no sound. I think it's probably this. I wonder if we bring this down. Can we play it from here and just record it? Pull that one out. Turn the volume up. There you go.
Is the mic on?
Okay.
I can turn that up, but they got to turn the mic up.
Can you turn? Yep, try.
The country of Thailand is located in Southeast Asia, below China, and bordered by the countries of Myanmar, Laos, Cambodia, and Malaysia. Thailand has a population of over 63 million people, with 95% percent followers of Buddhism and only 1% are Christian. Buddhism was flourishing in India and may have entered the Southeast Asian region in the 3rd or 2nd centuries BC. By the 6th century AD, Theravada Buddhism was strongly established in the Burmese, Thai, and Khmer kingdoms. Today, it is common to hear Thai people say, to be Thai is to be Buddhist. In fact, while religious freedom is constitutionally protected in Thailand, the king, by the same constitution, is required to be Buddhist. Buddhist practices and beliefs permeate everyday life in Thailand. Every morning, monks walk the streets collecting food offerings in every town and village. Buddhist temples, called wats, are often the center of community life. Buddhism teaches that one must perform enough merit-making ceremonies to earn freedom from the constant cycle of death and rebirth. Thus, people invite monks to all major events to oversee, guide, and grant merit to the participants. Annual ceremonies and festivals are hosted and blessed by monks and attended by Thai people in the hope of making merit. So when Thai people come to faith in Jesus, they often are accused of being traitor to their culture and even their country. Thai Christians often face persecution and the loss of their friends and families because of their new faith. This is because, as Christians, the Thai believers can no longer participate in the traditional merit-making ceremonies of Buddhism. Besides Buddhism, Thai people also fear spirits and ghosts. Most families build spirit houses in their yard and make offerings to these spirits in appeasement and to seek assistance from them as well. When Thai people become Christians, these idols are destroyed, causing neighbors, friends, and family members to question the sanity of the new Christian. Often out of fear, non-Christians will no longer speak to the new Christian because they fear the spirits will be angry with them.
We want to thank the Lord for everyone who has had a part in our ministry since we moved back to Thailand in the year 2000, 14 years ago. The prayers and support of many churches and brethren have strengthened our hands to accomplish the work of the Lord in northern Thailand. When we first returned to Thailand, the Lord led us to start the Lana Baptist Church in the province of Lamban. We thank the Lord for many Thai people who have heard the gospel through the ministry of the Lana Baptist Church. Some of these who have heard the gospel were saved and continue as members. Others who trusted in Christ are attending other churches in the provinces where they have moved. The Lord has blessed us with a wonderful family who surrendered to full-time Christian service. Apisit has shown a tremendous heart for helping with pastoral ministry and reaching our community. After years of meeting in a rented space, last year the Lord blessed us with the land on which we have built our current beautiful church building to the glory of God. As the Lord has blessed, and through your prayers and giving, we have also begun a second work. The Wean Ping Baptist Church is located in Chiang Mai, the largest city in northern Thailand, with a population of over 1.5 million people. With your support, we were able to purchase land on which we have built our new church building. This newer work is growing, with a strong witness around us and in the neighborhoods where our members live. Nearly everyone we witness to is Buddhist. We also thank the Lord for various opportunities to share the gospel throughout the country of Thailand. 13 years ago, a man by the name of Anucha was saved while we were ministering in the prison. He was changed from a person who lived only for himself, working as a hired killer, to a new person who is living for Jesus Christ. Now he is serving the Lord as the pastor of the Redwood Baptist Church. We regularly share the gospel one-on-one and through tract distribution, in public places and from house to house. In addition, we have had many opportunities to publish the gospel via the newspaper and radio. Many Thais in various provinces have responded and studied the Bible with us through correspondence and Skype. Through this teaching, we have seen people accept Jesus Christ, grow in their discipleship, and begin to share the gospel as well. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to write evangelistic articles for various newspapers, including People of Northern Thailand, Chiang Mai News, and the magazine Chiam. Through this ministry, we have seen Thai people who once walked in darkness transformed by the light of the gospel. The first person in Lambang who read the gospel in our newspaper article and responded was a lady who was considering suicide. She came to our church and received salvation. Another man at the age of 94 years received the light of the gospel through the newspaper. He followed the articles and cut them out to collect them. Finally, he contacted us at the church, and I was able to go visit him. I discovered that he was deaf. Thank the Lord for the wisdom to find a way to lead him to Christ. Just 2 years later, he was killed in an accident, but we thank the Lord for his salvation. A 17-year-old young man nicknamed Nguyen had been a junior monk for 3 years. He was searching for the truth the only way he knew how. But he never felt confident that when he died, he would go to heaven. Until one day, he heard the gospel through the magazine Chia as he was searching for a job. He contacted us to request correspondence courses, then came to church and accepted Christ. One man who had heard the gospel as a young person but never trusted in Christ was also reached. Nguyen Sak was 67 years old and already retired. He moved to Lambang at the request of his daughter to help him get away from pressure to be involved in politics. Truthfully, he could have chosen from two other places to live, but he chose to live in Lambang. When he came to Lambang, he read the gospel in the newspaper and contacted the church. After completing correspondence courses, he turned to Christ for salvation. He said that he had heard and been interested in the gospel when he was young, but as he lived a busy life and worked his career, he never made the time to really study the gospel for himself. Thank the Lord, whose mercy led him to move to Lambang and hear the gospel. If he had moved elsewhere, he may have never had the chance to believe in Christ. Yeom Rak was a Thai lady who had been a Christian for 2 years. She had prayed and invited her husband, Apiset, to go to church with her. But Apiset, who had been a monk for 9 years, trying to find the answer to the problem of sin, had a large number of idols. One day, because of a problem with a friend at work, he agreed to go to church with his wife, Yeom. Because he listened to the preaching, he trusted Christ. However, the church was charismatic in doctrine. He wanted to study the Bible and began to search the internet, where he found our website. He contacted us to study via Skype, but soon after decided to move to Lambang to study the Bible at the Lana Baptist Church. His 16-year-old son, who had been a junior monk for 3 years as well, came to visit. He heard and responded to the gospel, which he had been searching for, and decided to leave Buddhism and serve the Lord. Several people have responded to articles which we put on the church website. Two of these are young doctors, nicknamed Mangmum and Punch. They were attending a church greatly lacking in Bible teaching and wanted to study the Bible. Dr. Mangmum came to our church and became a member. By God's grace, she met a pastor from her home province, and I had the privilege of performing their wedding. Please pray for them as they face fierce opposition from their families for becoming Christians. Mangmum's mother even refused to attend her wedding. When Dr. Punch was going to be baptized, her father called me and accused me of brainwashing his daughter. Out of respect, she waited one more year to be baptized. Her parents came to the baptism service, not to watch, but to stop her. Dr. Punch wanted to be baptized anyway. Please pray for the parents of these two doctors, that God will soften their hearts to the message of salvation. This year, we started the Wing Ping Baptist Bible School. Aside from teaching young people from our community, our plan is to have children who have finished the sixth grade in their village schools come live in our dormitory. We will teach them the Word of God as we train them to work and find their place in God's plan. Those who come early will finish their high school education before they start our Bible college curriculum. Applications will be taken from students beginning at 13 years old, as many of the poorer students will begin working at this age. We hope to raise up Christian leaders from a young age who will be ready to serve the Lord. When we return this year, we will enroll up to 10 dormitory students. We estimate the cost of living for each student to be only $100 per month, as they will also be working part-time to support themselves. For just $100 per month, you can support the Bible education of a young man to prepare for ministry. Please pray with us and consider supporting the Wieanping Baptist Bible School. Aside from regular monthly support, we are also praying for God to provide for a small dormitory. The cost for this building will be only $8,000 and will meet our needs for dormitory space at this time. Even a small donation would go a long way in providing the housing for these young men to be trained to serve the Lord. Perhaps God would lay it on your heart to have a part in training the next generation of Christian leaders for the country of Thailand. If you would like to donate specifically to this project, please let us know or simply designate Bible School on your checks to us. We earnestly covet your prayers as we seek to diligently train servant leaders to take the gospel throughout the country of Thailand. Thank you for all your prayers and faithful support. We have about 3 acres in front of our church that is for sale. The owner of the land will sell it for 6.5 million baht, which is about $203,000. Compared to the price of other land in the area, this is very cheap, but it's a lot of money for us. We really need partners in raising money for this project. If there's a giver who can give one time $500, it would make such a difference. We would need just 420 gifts at this level to reach our goal of purchasing this land. Would you pray with us and help us in our vision to reach Thais and train leaders for Christ? If you feel led to give specifically to this project, you can designate the funds to Bible School on your checks to us.
So that was the measures that they were taking around the churches in the U.S. and their donor churches. And what's interesting is that you notice a couple of interesting things. Those of you who are builders will notice that that dormitory coming in at $8,000 seems to be remarkably inexpensive. And actually it is, because the cost of building there is not that great. It's the cost of the land. Land is prohibitively expensive there because there's 66 million people and growing. So if you didn't catch it, the cost of the land was $230,000 for 3.3 acres, which is quite expensive. I mean, that's what, $80,000 an acre. I'm not sure what an acre is going for here on the island at the moment, but I don't think it's quite that close. So from their perspective, I can tell you already that they're well over 40% already in terms of raising money for the land, so much so that they're stepping out in faith and they're going ahead to purchase the land to build the dormitory. And why it's important is because the Buddhist system takes in young children, because it's very difficult to feed a family in Thailand. Families can be quite big, and in the poor areas, and there are some really poor areas, if you go and live at the monastery with the monks, then you get fed and you get an education, but you're also educated in the Buddhist way. And so the vision that they have at Lanna Baptist and Chiang Mai Baptist is to say, well, you know, we can do this. We can do this from a Christian perspective. And when you think of what is potentially there from a Christian viewpoint, then they're going to be equipping young people in the ministry from an early age. And given the nature of Thailand, given the receptiveness at the moment, it's what I would call an open door country. There is nothing there stopping the spread of the gospel at the moment. But you never know when those doors are going to close. The King Rama the Ninth, I think it is. He is the longest serving monarch in the world, longer than Queen Elizabeth. But he's not in good health. And his son does not have the respect of the Thai people. And at the moment, Thailand is being effectively ruled by a military junta. So at some point, something's going to happen, something's going to change. It often does. In Thailand, change does go through. There have been instances in the past with some rioting that has gone on in there. However, at the moment, that's not the way it is. And so the missions to Buddhists really are so vital, because done by somebody who speaks Thai, then again, it's like you and I having a conversation about our Lord Jesus Christ. We can do it, and we can explain really well. Try, if you speak any French at all, try having a conversation with somebody in French and explaining the gospel in French. And if you think that's difficult, and I think it's a little difficult, I struggle with that, but then go to a tonal language with five tones that really doesn't make sense even in written form. You look at Thai writing and it's like these, you know, it's like a whole series of M's with a few dots on it. And you look at it thinking, okay, so which way am I reading, left to right or right to left? And is it the right way round? Again, in Thailand, though, what's opening up is the king decreed that every Monday in the schools is English speaking day. They really want to lift up their English, so they will try their English, and they're working on their English. They still need a lot of teachers out there. They need a lot of English teachers out there. And they would benefit greatly, I suspect, by having Christian English teachers out there. It's always something worth considering. So for any of you folks that may be looking at either a short-term or longer-term mission, that's one aspect. In many countries now, English is being viewed, certainly in Southeast Asia, as a necessary language. There is a collection of countries out there together. There are 10 of them called ASEAN, the Association of Southeast Asia Nations. And those 10 countries have made it a mandate to promote English. So English is right there. And what better way to teach English than teach English with Scripture? It's a wonderful thing to do. And taking children at an early age, you're not really battling against the same obstacles that you would be battling against those who are older in terms of their Buddhist faith. And, you know, this whole aspect of the sequence to looking at how to speak to Buddhists, they love logic. There's a nice logic to it. And they will find it interesting to see Jesus as the miracle worker, then Jesus as a teacher of morality, because they can think of those things, Jesus and his character, then Jesus as a teacher regarding the living God. And this is the concept where many Buddhists start to stumble, because they don't see a supreme being. They don't see God. They don't see sin. They don't understand the concept of sin. It's interesting. And therefore, the concept of needing a savior from the sinful self is very difficult to explain when there is no underlying concept of sin. See, in Buddhism, it's not the way it is. Buddhism doesn't teach sin. And so then you move from there to Jesus as creator, Jesus then as judge, and then Jesus as savior. But that cross, that threshold, always, that threshold is sin. I think the concepts of grace and forgiveness and all those are great concepts again for Thai people, because they understand very clearly these ideas of what's to be encouraged. They have these parameters of generosity and morality and renunciation, wisdom, energy, patience, truthfulness, determination, loving kindness. These things are all inherent in Buddhism, so it's not a big step when you start looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Buddhism itself, there are issues around this whole aspect of when we look at the noble truths and we look at what happens in Buddhism. You have this aspect that the karma, they have this continuing cycle of death and rebirth and death and rebirth, this reincarnation cycle. And the only way that you step outside of that cycle is by attaining this nirvana, the state of where you've renounced all things, you're totally at peace, and that's nirvana. And whether that's a type of heaven is not really clear. And to get an example of people reaching nirvana, they talk about two types of nirvana. The physical nirvana, which you reach on this earth, and then there is nirvana, which is this apparent nothingness, freedom from everything, which is an interesting concept because it really doesn't fit our concept of heaven. And so when a Buddhist hears about heaven, this is a totally different thing. And of course, antithetical to heaven, when they hear about hell, it's a totally different thing. So those teachings of heaven and hell become paramount when you look at dealing with Buddhists. They have no concept of that, again, that need for salvation, that need for repentance, that need for a savior. See, Buddhism doesn't save anybody. Buddhism is just basically a way of life. It's living the best life that you can, in essence. And so when you reduce it to that point, you can see that what you're left with is not very much. And the big threat in Thailand is coming from the south, because in the south of the country, you're bordering on Indonesia. And you have Islamists coming up through the south. And you will never again hear this on the mainstream news, but on an ongoing basis in the south of Thailand, there are incursions all the time. There are explosions, there are shootings, there are things going on all the time. But they would never want you to know that, because it's not really good for the tourist trade. And it's not getting better. I suspect it's actually getting worse. But the south of the country, the very far south where it borders, is a problem area, because the Islamists are really quite aware of what Buddhists think. They have no time for Buddhists. None at all. Islam is basically spread by the sword and continues to be so. So from the Buddhist perspective, they have a significant threat to the south. But interestingly, when again they look at Christianity, it is very difficult for them to get the concept of what is needed. So from our perspective, I mean, Jenny and I, when we went to visit, and we've been over there a few times now, it's a delightful country. It's a delightful country to be in. And the people are delightful people. And I would love to be able to speak fluent Thai. I'd love to be able to do that, but I can't. I never will be able to. But it is wonderful to know that there are churches out there where the gospel is being preached. And I think what was really fantastic is that when we went to the services at Atlanta Baptist, we would sing in English and they would be singing in Thai. We'd be singing the same hymn and it still worked. And it worked really well, and it was a wonderful time to be had out there. So from an aspect of those friends of ours, Seatone and Penn, I hope this has given you a bit of an idea of what is going on out in a different place. We often hear of missions in many countries, but I don't think we've ever heard anything about missions in Thailand. So give some thought to that. And Seatone and Penn would really covet your prayers. They really would if you just pray for the spread of the gospel in Thailand. Seatone Conqueror is his name. If you've got any questions, you can always ask Jenny or me or Nick or April if you want any further information. They are wonderful people, so please pray for them, because it is a hard work. It is a busy work. They were exhausted when they came to see us, and they still had 2 more months of touring in the States. I think they're just on their way back. Yeah, not yet. Yeah. And so when they get back, we know it's busy. They started with 1 small church, they're now to 3 churches. So it's growing. It's a wonderful work that's growing, and they would covet your prayers. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful grace towards us, as while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Lord, we think of the various missions work that are going on throughout this world. And we know that your Holy Spirit is so involved with all of this work. We really don't have a great understanding of what is happening in many places in this world. We know, however, Lord, that when there is hardship and where there is travail, then when the gospel is preached, there are souls saved. And we know, Lord, that those who are saved go on very quickly to deepen their faith in the adversity that they're in. And Father, we pray for all those that are in missionary work at this moment. We pray especially for the country of Thailand, Lord. We know that there is much difficulty in terms of reaching the Buddhist people. But thankfully, you've made the way, Lord. Your Holy Spirit prepares the hearts. And so, Father, we know that there will be souls saved. It was a great joy for us, Lord, that while we were there, we saw 8, 10, 12 baptisms. And Father, we were hearing of people being saved on a regular basis. So Father, we just pray that you would continue to bless that work, that you would continue to bless Seton and Penn in their work at Atlanta Baptist. And Father, we pray again for our little island here. We pray for our country, Canada, but we pray especially for Prince Edward Island. We pray for the upcoming outreach in Old Home Week. And Lord, we again pray that your Holy Spirit would go before us and prepare hearts, Lord, that hearts would be yielded to our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you now, Lord, to bless each and every one as we journey home. Keep us safe, Lord, and help us through this week to witness your love and your grace to those around us. In that precious name of Jesus, amen.